A61, number 5B.
Yes, so we have that tone of mind, that is the will of mind, the mandate of mind. The mandate again has that sense of will and of power and of executing power. It's the command, all the commands of mind. Then we come to law as one of the main ideas. Law. Why has law to do with mind? Why not with principle? Why not with another synonymous term? What is necessary in order for a law to be a law? See, it's such a small word. What does it imply within itself?
Well, it has power.
A law must have power. It must have
authority.
Intelligence, perhaps. Authority. Must have
action.
Must have somehow an action. Yeah.
It has the highest sense of power, the power to enforce itself.
The power to enforce itself.
If you have a government, you must have laws. That law would come first.
Yes.
First is an idea of a law is first.
Yeah. You now state why it is not principle. Yeah. In principle, you would have government. But in order to have government in principle, you must have law in mind. Yeah. But that would show why it is mind and not principle. But within mind, we see that the law is only then a law when it enacts itself, when it has within itself power to express itself. It is a law that is unerring, the unerring mind. It is of a kind of intelligence, because it knows what it wants to do, diviner intelligence.
It has order. It has to have order.
It has to have order. And now, what do you mean by it? And now, what do you mean by it? Is order mind?
No, it's
spirit. It's spirit, huh? Yes.
But yeah. It's related.
It is related. How is it related? Actually, I shouldn't talk about it now. I should talk about it later on. But shall we scratch it? Because order would not show what is the inner nature of law, but it would show in which way it expresses itself. Goes a step further. Can you see? It doesn't show what is the inner nature of a law to be law. Yeah?
Could you mean order, like I order you to do something here, or command?
Yeah, we had command and...
Maybe order in that sense.
Oh. The issue of an order. That's again, you see, that would again be a semantic question. You see, I think you have to learn a lot about semantics, or you can't get anywhere. You see, order can also be a command, issuing of a, and therefore is used not in a scientific way. You see, order in a scientific way wouldn't have that kind of connotation. Yeah.
Law causes an effect.
Yes. Law is something that leads from cause, from cause. Can you see how many ideas are involved in that little term, law? This is what we have to learn. Without speculation, without beginning to speculate, there is the danger that we begin to speculate and say, well, law naturally has to do also with a rule and has to do with a government. The government governs through laws and so on, and you get right into the wilderness. We have to stick to the inner nature of a term and see what are the qualities that are necessary for a term to be that term, not what they are going to do afterwards. Not the object, always the subject. You know the difference between a subject and an object?
Tell us.
Yeah.
Say it again, Sam.
Yeah. It's not always so easy, to explain the most simple thing. In a sentence, for instance, a sentence has a subject and usually a verb and a object. The subject means the thinking I. The thinking I, that's the subject. Max goes to Switzerland. And if Max is the subject, the thinking I, the thinking person, goes, the verb, object, Switzerland. It's outside of Max. The object is that which is outside of the subject. So the subject is always the thinking I, on which the about which the sentence speaks. So if Mrs. Eddy speaks about mind is the law of all, then she would say mind is the subject of the sentence. She speaks about mind. Mind is the law. So it defines what mind is, the law. It's the law of what? Of all. And that's the object. For it's the law of health. It's the law of government. It's the law of this. The law of that. It's always outside the object. So what we are investigating is mind as a subject, not what it does to an object. Okay?
We missed mandate.
No, we had it, we took it together there when we had will, and then we went on with mandate, and we even put in another one, a command, the command of mind. Then the law, we could see that without power there is no law, without action there is no law, without cause there is no law, because the law is cause to effect, anyway, in the causality sense. Then we have the control of mind. That mind controls, that mind regulates, we had there too. Can you tell me why control has to do with mind? Think of it. You see, our list gets longer and longer. We started out by saying mind is creator. And if we take the word creator and the word now control, and we would say to somebody, to the man in the street, you know, they belong into the same category. He would say, oh no, don't be funny, huh? Creator and control are two completely different things. Seen divinely, how could we see that they are the same? That they belong to the same category? Who wants to try control?
Enforce.
Control needs enforcement. Enforcement, yes. Regulation, yeah.
Guidance
needs, in order to control, needs power. It needs intelligence, doesn't it? It needs action, or you can't control something if you don't act according to it. It needs intelligence so that it's controlled intelligently. It needs unerring intelligence, or you don't control, it gets out of control. You can't regulate it, yeah. It means faculties of controlling, or it gets out of control. Can you hear that practically all the other ideas somehow are there? That in one time, as long, I quite agree, as long as we are only reasoning on a divine level, on the level of the language of spirit. The moment we argue on the human level, it doesn't fit. They are not congruent. Huh? They don't fit into each other. It's only when we reason on a divine level that they fit and that they, what do you say, that they intertwine, huh? That they blend, that they cooperate. You see? Can you slowly see the language of spirit that is built up? It's a divine language. It's a language you somehow feel, hear, sense. Huh? It's not a language really which you speak out in terms. The terms are somehow a help. But the language of spirit is now something that says, oh, controls, yeah, controls, what means that? Huh? Well, that needs power, that needs intelligence to control, it needs the ability of being unerring, it needs the ability of faculty, of can you hear? And you put all these ideas of mind come in and blend and blend and blend, and suddenly you have a feeling of control which is terrifically big and terrifically powerful and unerring. And that's mind.
Can we put it this way, Max, that mind being creative and being a source, a cause, it has an objective, and this objective is its perfect, complete fulfillment. And since that is good and is looking for perfection, then it must have these laws and the will and the mandate and the corrective effect of control in order to guarantee that it reaches its full objective, which is love.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have control and regulates, then we come to governs, and we said we had in our assignment a special point, point 7, about government. Perhaps we leave that out until we come to principle or life or so, so that looking backward, perhaps we can better see what it means. The next one is heals. That's a very ambiguous term. Ambiguous in the study of the synonyms. Mind heals. Why should mind heal? Mind of truth.
Correct.
I have the feeling that a lot of these terms are really translations, but they aren't inherent in the term.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you, or could you, as we go along, point out which ones are?
I would prefer not, except very evident ones, because there is another problem involved in it which would make it a bit too difficult at the moment, but we will always come back to this question. Would you feel that mind heals is such a term?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would be the more absolute term for mind heals? An absolute, what we have also, I don't know if we have it, yeah? More absolute term, a less translated term?
Maintains,
you could say, huh? Why would you say maintains? Chose one power, yeah. Something that does not need to be corrected. Yes. So it maintains the ideal status. Huh? It maintains the idea, it maintains its own creation. Yeah. When it comes to heals, you feel it is a translated sense? On, yeah?
Maybe even mind reveals is a higher sense of healing. I remember Mrs. Eddy used that.
Yes.
The place to revealing, or healing, it's revealing.
Yes. Yeah.
Because healing suggests something outside, and mind Yeah. Nothing else is blind, so I can't really hear anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, heels is such an important concept in Christian Science that perhaps we try to see it in relationship to mind. How could we see it in relationship to mind? Why is it not spirit? Though I agree it's a translated sense, but in which way is it a translated sense? Why doesn't she say spirit heals? Why doesn't she say soul heals?
Because it's the creator?
It's a creator, mind is a creator.
That's
the reason. That's perhaps a slight reason, yes. It's a creator of what?
Ideas.
Of all ideas, but that's that to do with healing. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is the relationship to healing? Yes?
Mind has the power to oppose anything that's in harmony.
That's
true.
Mind doing something. What kind of thing is this mind doing?
Well, it's already manifest that it's all knowing, it's all intelligent. It's guiding and leading.
Mm-hmm.
And if all these things we accept, then there wouldn't really be anything to heal.
All right, then, Almagin, I ask you, it heals disease, huh? Healing means it heals disease. Huh? What is disease?
Mortal mind.
Mortal mind, huh? It's the objectification of mortal mind, huh? Huh? Or is it the objectification of matter? No, huh? It's of mortal mind. Huh? See, the fundamental issue of the whole textbook is that mortal mind is the cause or originator of all disease. Huh? Therefore, you have mortal mind as the originator. Again, originate. Huh? It's also mind, the cause, mind. Huh? And therefore, you can see that if we replace mortal mind with divine mind, the divine mind must be the healer. Hmm? Therefore, we have afterwards the medicine of mind. Why is mind the medicine?
They're counterfeit.
Mm-hmm. Is a medicine a counterfeit?
Oh, no, no, no. I meant that it's the source of the ideas, which have the power within themselves,
yeah,
to offset the counterfeit.
Yeah, well, that would be healing, huh?
Yes.
Here we just have the medicine of mind, huh? Yeah.
Aren't the ideas themselves?
Well, it is, you see, that the medicine of mind is that you go to the divine mind as seeing that if we contemplate mind's ideas, that's the medicine, huh? Without going any further and say that goes and heals something, because that's mind heals, huh? But the medicine is mind, capital M, huh? Meaning that all true conception is a medicine, huh? All true ideas is medicine. Huh? Therefore, healing actually at that point has only to do with mind, huh, knowing its own ideas. That's the medicine. So if I turn in any case to mind and contemplate what mind knows about itself and knows only ideas, that's the medicine. Therefore, in the treatment I prescribe the medicine of mind, huh? And say, all right, in the treatment, I go out from mind, and I stick with mind, and therefore, in order to stick with mind, I only contemplate ideas, whatever the ideas are. It's mind contemplating the ideas of mind, the ideas of spirit, the ideas of soul, the ideas of principle, of life, truth, and love. That's the medicine. Mind contemplating its own ideas, huh? And only ideas. Yeah. Because the disease has arisen, because mortal mind was completing its own illusions. So the medicine is to take divine mind and let divine mind contemplate its own ideas. Mm-hmm. It's the remedy mind. Would you know that in advance? Why is the remedy truth and the medicine mind?
You have to have the correct idea.
Aha! You see? Do you see? Do you see a difference between the medicine and the remedy? Yeah? Could you explain once more what the difference is between a doctor prescribing a medicine and a remedy? Absolutely. You see? The remedy is only then the remedy when the right medicine is applied. If the doctor just gives you out of his drawer any kind of medicine, it is not the remedy. It's only then the remedy when he takes the right pills out of his drawers. So that is the difference between the medicine of mind and the remedy of truth. Huh? Yeah? Truth is the remedy. Truth is knowing exactly the right idea, the specific idea. And that's truth. That's not mind. We come back to it perhaps when we go through truth. Did you get that? Mm-hmm. So can you see how, in a way, if I may use the term restricted, mind still is. Mind still is restricted to that seventh, but to one seventh of the whole cake, and says, mind, I'm only the first conceptual idea of being. I'm only that which creates the first initiative of everything. I have a right idea. Yes?
Is it possible, as you say, mind and medicine, say money and medicine?
Mind and body.
No, money.
Then which is first, mind or medicine? Which is first, mind or money? Money has
in its
broadest context, is it maintained or supports or whatever? Could you use it in the same sense?
I'm
not talking about greenbacks.
No.
What money stands for?
Money.
Money, yes, that's what it says.
Dollar money.
Yes.
Like medicine. Just as we have a divine idea of medicine, which usually is considered as something material. Hmm?
Yeah.
Well, then we would have to translate it rather further back through two or three stages to see that mind, yes, what perhaps you said, that mind maintains, that mind sustains. Huh? Because the belief of money is manifold, you see. Whereas medicine, the belief of medicine is that it heals. The belief of money can be many things. That can give you happiness, that it can be your sustenance and so on, you see. Which is behind it. Huh? So, in a way, we would see, yes, that mind maintains all, huh? And sustains all, manifests all, yeah. Gives you a sense of that. Okay, then we come to saves. Mind saves. We had heals. Now saves. Cares for. She also says that mind helps. Huh? It's the help. It's the aid. The aid of mind. With the aid of mind. I think there again we have a sense that it is a translated form to the human. But you know, it is a... Can you see the difference? We were for the first time speaking about the translated form. When we had, I think, what did we have? Thought, huh? and then vision and wisdom and so on. And we said, these are qualities, the way a divine idea comes to us and wells up in our consciousness a certain quality, certain human quality, say the human quality of enlightened thought, or of vision, or of desire. Here, with healing and saving and caring and aiding, you see, it is an intermediary stage. It is between those two, because mind comes and does something to the human without bringing about some another quality in the human. It saves, it heals, it aids. It does not wake up and establish in the human a higher quality, like a true desire, like vision, like enlightenment. Can you see the difference? Yeah? Actually, when we go further, we could explain this very easily. We could say, as long as we investigate the synonymous term as idea, we are at the point of the word. Here, at the point of Christ, we can see that the Christ mind heals, saves, aids, etc. And at the point of Christianity, mind enlightens and gives wisdom and new vision and new insight and so on. We can afterwards categorize that very easily.